And what's that?
This feels kind of good, actually.
And well, it was pretty nice down there. It was 85 during the day and high 60s at night, so it was really nice. But the one thing that stuck out to me concerning our church was that the message that I heard there was the same message that's been on my heart. And so the good news is we must be hearing something here. And same thing that's on Rocky's heart. And so that was really encouraging to me when you get a kind of a witness that there's something of the same message coming out. And the message is this, that Jesus has accomplished everything for you concerning salvation, concerning righteousness, concerning sanctification. It's all been accomplished in Christ, and it's all acquired by faith in Him. In Him. But I also realize that there's this mind game that goes on in our heads, and the battle really is between the two ears of struggling to receive all that Christ has done. And to realize the law came through Moses, but grace and truth were realized. Well, realized. It can be real, but then there's the realized. That's like the completion of it. It's really getting it. It's somehow getting it. So it's all in Christ. So do you realize that you are no longer identified with sin? Now this is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday. This is remembering the entrance of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, of which we're going to be in Saturday. We'll be in that place, and we'll be there for Easter. That's an interesting thought. We're going to be doing our own Passover on Friday. That's the passing over of the Atlantic Ocean. All right. Some questions. Hopefully you have answers to those. We're going to work on a few of them. But what are the parameters of sin? How did Jesus take away the sin of the world? Where do sin and death have jurisdiction? How are we born again? And where are born-again believers dwelling today? Those are all things about us, about you and me. Just common questions for believers. But the one I want to hit the hardest is the first one. Because I think the Lord has given me a little revelation of some of the tricks of the devil. I love it when the Lord exposes the tricks of the devil. And He wants us to be free. Freedom is the answer. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not be put under again the yoke of bondage, of sin. Don't be put into that yoke again. But I'll tell you what, there's a devil out there who wants to keep you in the yoke of bondage. He wants to keep you under it. Do you realize that you're no longer identified with sin? Just a little review here. I came across this verse the last time I was preaching, I talked about acts of righteousness, doing acts of righteousness. But what I concluded, the acts of righteousness are this: what you believe. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross is the only act of righteousness concerning your righteousness with God. There might be some other righteous things that you can think about, and the law would have you look at a different kind of righteousness called self-righteousness, and that self-righteousness you can acquire through lots of other things. You know, how well you've done, how well you've kept up on things, how good you are, how well you've treated your spouse, and how wonderful you are. But I'm telling you, the righteousness that's concerning your salvation, the righteousness that concerns God, was all accomplished in Christ Jesus, and it's believing in Him. For he who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's just read this verse. He, Abraham, was where we first learned about righteousness, did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, He would also perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for who? But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe or have faith in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So it's believing on the finished work of Christ that you also attain righteousness. It's all in Christ. It's not about your works. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. You know, we just talked about, you brought up, you know, missing the mark a little bit this week. Well, it wasn't our getting it right, that we got it all right, that we were brought into the kingdom. You can do it all right and you can still be in sin. Now, you get brought in to Christ and you find yourself that you're sinning. But sinning doesn't remove you. It doesn't remove you, for you're not identified any longer with sin. You're identified with the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. I know this is, maybe it sounds too good to be true, but it's true. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You find your righteousness in the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, if you're a little bent towards works, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I gotta do all these righteous works. Seek first the kingdom and His, did it say your righteousness? Seek His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, not ours. Don't be looking for your righteousness, His righteousness. Faith is all that's needed. All right. 1 John 3, verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins. And get this last part of this straight, because this is a freeing verse. The last part of this. In Him there is no sin. Now, if you're a Christian, where are you? Where are you? If you read Ephesians, you'll find out you're in where? You're in Christ. In Him there is no sin. Where are you? In Him there is no sin. How did you get in, anyway? You might ask, how did I get in? I'm a sinner. I'm telling you, Jesus come to take away the sin and let you in. Now, this is the truth. This is real. Don't let anybody rob you of the truth. For the truth really sets you free. Once you believe this for yourself, then you can believe it for your spouse. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. Sin brings about death. All in Adam die. All in Christ Jesus have eternal life. Okay? I got a little fancy here last night. I put together a little chart. The teacher thing is coming out of me. You can look at this chart. Here's the way it is. Adam, darkness, domain of Satan, the bottom half, top half, Christ, the light, the kingdom of God. Down here we have death and condemnation. Up there, we have forgiveness and eternal life. Everything in the top half is holy, where all believers reside in faith. Everything below is unbelief, where the unbelievers are, where sin is. In between there was the cross of Christ. Okay? Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father, now listen, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of the light. Okay? You've been qualified to get in. Who qualified you? In Colossians there it says the Father qualified you. The Father qualified you. If anybody else is trying to say if you're qualified or not, you say, well, I've been qualified by my Father. I was qualified by my Father. How did He qualify you? How are you qualified? He did that through Christ Jesus. He qualified you through His Son. He sent His Son while you were yet a sinner. Well, I was still a sinner. And when He died, now get this, when He died, you died. Adam, the whole red part there was put to death. Adam, the whole sin realm of Adam was put to death at the cross. Jesus took all of Adam's sin, all of Adam even, not just the sin, but the very nature of Adam into Himself, which included you and me, and put it to death. And it was in the death at the cross that you were set free. You need to have a revelation of yourself with Christ at the cross. Have a revelation of yourself hanging at the cross with Jesus because He put it to death. He didn't clean you up. He didn't fix you up. He put you to death. But it doesn't stop there. Do you know why He put you to death? One of the reasons was, remember this jurisdiction? Where's the jurisdiction of law and death? It's in Adam. It's in the realm of sin. The jurisdiction of all sin is in this red area. That's where the jurisdiction of sin is. And you're under that jurisdiction as long as you are there. What He did is He put you to death to set you free from the jurisdiction of the law. Okay, there is no more jurisdiction for a believer because He put you to death. And it was in that death, you know, it's like Paul says in Romans 7, it was a marriage. He likened it like a marriage. You were actually in the covenant relationship with the law, and you were under that jurisdiction. And you could not be separated from that covenant until one of the parties dies. If one of the parties die, you can be set free. But you're not going to have any chance to have eternal life while you're still hooked up to the covenant of the law. Now, you can look at the law and you can say, well, I wonder if the law will die. That's one part. You're this part, and the law is the other part. Do you think the law is going away? Jesus said, no, the law is good. In fact, the law gets better. The law is wonderful. Well, how can we deal with this covenant? Well, what about you? Can you die? Is it possible that you might die? Well, if I die, then what? What's left if I die? But the very truth is, as Jesus caused you to die, but when you died, you were set free from this jurisdiction of the law, which is a good fist like that. To be, now here's the good news, born again. To receive a new life, the life of Jesus Christ, and to be joined to Him. Wow. Wow. You've been joined to Christ. You are no longer in covenant with the law. You have been joined to Christ. So here's what Jesus told Paul. And if you want to look, you can look in Acts 26, verse 18. Here is the mission Jesus gave Paul. You know, these are Jesus' words, okay? These are the words of Jesus that he told Paul when Paul saw Jesus there on the road to Damascus. He said, I'm going to send you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. You see the picture? Turning from darkness to light. From the domain of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance with those who have been sanctified by faith. Wow. Have you ever been taught that you got to do some things to be sanctified? What is it that you have to do to be sanctified? Is sanctification a process, or is it received by faith? The Bible says it's received by faith, not by works. Well, you say, well, what about all that sin that's in me? I'll tell you what. When you walk by faith, it's God who is at work in you, both to do and to will that which is pleasing in His sight. The Holy Spirit was sent. All He's asking you to do is agree with Him. Now, you know that, like our testimony from Audrey this morning, that wasn't right what I was doing. But the point is Audrey saw it. It wasn't right. She confessed it. That's all you need to do. Just agree with God. Just agree with Him when He says, that isn't me. That is not me. Hey, you're right. When you say, you're right, God, you've just confessed your sin. You've said it's sin. You've agreed with God. It's sin. It's not about dredging up stuff out of your whatever and going to some confession booth and confessing my... No, it's agreeing with God. It's sin. Agree with Him. But then you also have to make a confession of Him. What's the confession of Jesus Christ in you? Yeah, that wasn't right. But I want you to add this confession too. It's no longer I that sin, but sin that's in me. It's no longer I that sin. You're not identified with sin any longer. Now, if you could grab onto this, if you could just grab onto the fact that you're free from sin, free from sin. Well, here comes the second illustration. Something that I think... And here comes the illustration of where the devil comes to give you another readout. He wants to give you this readout, but I'm going to expose him today. Well, at least I'm going to try. Okay. Here's how many Christians see themselves. The church has helped us in that middle part there, religious parameters of good behavior, so that we have identified sinful things in the middle here. That middle red part is all the sinful things we can think about. But if I'm outside of there and I'm not doing those evil things, which I've identified with some religious boundaries, my religious parameters, if I'm in what appears to be white here, I feel okay. That's what I believe Paul calls the deceitfulness of sin, where you think you're okay when you're not. You're still in Adam. All in Adam die. Now, if somewhere along the line you think that, well, I'm not doing bad things, I'm not doing horrible things here, I don't do all those things that have been identified as sin, I must be holy. There's a false holiness. And it's deceitful. All of Adam, everything in Adam is sin. Sin is everything in Adam. The only way to get out of sin is by faith. Is by faith in Christ Jesus, and it's by faith you are saved, not by works. Not by some good behavior. And you say, well, where does good behavior come from? What about good behavior? Shouldn't I try to have good behavior? I'm telling you, your behavior is not equated with your holiness. Your holiness helps you in your good behavior. Can you get that difference? Your good behavior does not equate to holiness. But your holiness can equate to good behavior. In electronics, they call that a diode. It only goes one way. It only flows one way. So in other words, all your trying to keep some religious parameters of good works will never, ever, not even come close to making you holy. It can't even break the barrier of true holiness. I wonder if I had any notes on this. Oh, so I think Rocky used this verse last week. I wasn't here, but we talked about it in the office one day. Paul, here's what Paul is saying out of Romans 6, verse 2. How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? That's what's being explained here. People who have died to sin and are still wrapped up in this legalistic trying to behave mode. It's called the gospel of behavior modification. Don't go there. And if you are taking any kind of satisfaction about your behavior today, stop it. If you're one that feeling good about how you're behaving, you're being tricked. If there's any boast, if you have anything to boast about, it's in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Him alone. You have nothing to boast about. Not one iota. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. Nothing I have done is worth nothing. It's just not worth anything. Don't even go there. And if you have a tendency to think about your good works and how good you are, stop it. I don't know how clear that is. The one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning, but the Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Everything in Adam, everything in that life is a work of the devil. He ruined it forever. I was talking to the grandkids and we were talking about, I can't remember what it was like, can this be saved? And it was something with cereal and I can't remember how it was, but I said, well, I said, some things can be saved, some things can't be. But I said, if I took you a glass of milk here, I said, and I poured in just a little bit of vinegar, do you think we could separate that out again and save it? No, they said, I don't think so. I think we'd have to throw it away. I said to myself, I didn't say it to the grandkids, I said, that's what it's about. There was nothing salvageable in Adam. It got ruined. Sin completely destroyed it. If you look in some of the words in the Bible, that word lost, Jesus come to redeem that which was lost. If you look that word up in the Greek, that word lost, it means something that is completely gone. No hope of ever finding it. No hope of ever straightening it out. Completely lost. Everything in Adam is completely toast. It's gone. It has no hope. Don't remain there. Don't find yourself being pumped up by your good works. Don't boast in how well you're doing, but boast in how well Christ has done. In Him, there is no sin. Having our identity in Adam is continuing in sin. Having our identity in my behavior and all my good stuff is still sinful. Even if it's good behavior. So watch out, little mouth, what you say. We got these, remember that little thing? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, be careful, little mouth, what you say. If you keep confessing that you're a rotten sinner, you're still identifying with Adam. If you keep saying, I'm just a rotten sinner, you're still identifying with who you are in Adam. If you confess that in Christ you are holy and sanctified by faith and find yourself sinning, then you're along with Paul, who can say, it's no longer I who sin, but sin that dwells within me. My identity is 100% in Christ. My identity is in His righteousness, not mine. My identity must remain in Christ. Life and death, it says in Proverbs, is in the power of the tongue. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For in the heart a man believes, resulting in righteousness. With a man, with his heart, he believes, resulting in righteousness. And with his mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. What is your confession? What is your confession? If you look at Hebrews chapter 3, you'll find the shadow and type of Israel. They could not get into the promised land because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. I don't want to believe that it's all in Christ. I want to have just a little part myself. And if I'm doing this good, you better be doing that good too. Because I expect you to have your part in your salvation. So we put requirements on each other about our behavior. And when you do that, it's really hard to walk in love. Because we have already judged our brother. I guess I could have put that down there too. In this area here, that's where all the judgment is. Judging each other. I should add that in the next. I got one more slide here. We'll go back to this one. But I superimposed it over the foundation of all this is what? Love. Love. Love is the foundation. And guess what it says in 1 John? Mary Jo brought up something about test to see if you're in the faith. Well, there is a test in 1 John. You know what that test is? We know we've passed from death to life. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. It doesn't say because we love them because they're doing all the good stuff. We just love them. That's our default. A Christian's default mode is love. You've got to work to get out of love. In fact, it says if you do not love, you don't know God. You may be still, and I'm telling you, people who are stuck in this religious boundary of trying to do good works, they have a real hard time. You'll find out that in that mode, they don't love themselves and they don't love each other. But up on top, where you're free from the law, and you've died, and you realize that death was a complete work of Christ, and it was finished at the cross, then it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, the love of Christ controls me, concluding this fact that when He died, all died. Wow. Love. We can love one another, not because they're doing it right, not because they've got it all together, not because they don't sin anymore. We just love them. Because we have revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ and that we have been translated from death to life, from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to the dominion of Jesus Christ, the Beloved. So the true parameters of sin are not some religious gobbledygook that they've come up with and that we probably come up with in our own lives from time to time about our behavior. Those are not the parameters of sin. The parameters of sin are whether you're in Adam or in Christ. For in Him there is no sin. You get this one straight and you're going to be free. If you're really in Christ, in Him there is no sin and in you there is no sin. Because you've been set free from sin. There may still be sin in you, because who's going to set me free from this wretchedness? Thanks be to God. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because your sin has been taken away. You're no longer identified with it. How can you be condemned? It's like the judge saying to you, your sins are gone. The penalty is gone. It's no longer here. You're free to go. But I did it. That's all right. You're free to go. You're free. So the next time you feel yourself sinning, stop identifying with that sin. Because then you have power. Now you're going to walk in the power of God to overcome sin. You're going to start overcoming sin rather than living in it. You're going to start believing God. And when you believe God, there's something else that gets released in you that gives you the power to walk a life pleasing to the Lord. And you start bearing fruit. But the biggest fruit you'll bear is you'll start loving one another. You'll start seeing one another with new eyes. Open their eyes, Lord. Those who are in Christ are free from sin. Those who are in Adam are still in their sin. Romans 6:7 says this, "For he who has died is free from sin." Pretty clear. Pretty clear words. He who has died is freed from sin. So when the Scripture says in Christ there is no sin, I can guarantee you He will not take you in if you still have sin. He's not going to take you in if you're still identified with sin. Jesus no longer identifies with you with sin because He took you in. And in Him there is no sin. So, if Jesus does not identify you with your sin, then I would suggest that you don't identify yourself with sin. And if you can get to that point, you may start feeling better about yourself. You may even start loving yourself to the point where you might even start loving one another. Isn't that the commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. But the truth of the matter is you got to understand what happened at the cross so that you are free and that you no longer identify with sin. So you don't love your neighbor because he's doing it right. You love him because of the finished work of Christ at the cross. Your love is based on Christ, not on behavior. You just love. You just love. Unconditional love. But you got to know that you have passed from death to life. Jesus died for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. He died for that. Why would we who have been freed from sin still even want to live in it? Why would we want to identify with that any longer? Back to this. So what are the parameters of sin? The parameters of sin are between Adam and Christ. the cross, the old creation and the new creation. Who are you? It's a new creation, isn't it? It's a new creation. How did Jesus take away your sin? By putting Adam to death. He put to death the very holder of all sin. And then His blood paid for all the sin of the whole world. Where do sin and death have jurisdiction? In the old nature. And be careful that you don't still walk in that jurisdiction with one another. Do you still have jurisdiction? Do you still walk in that jurisdiction with your brothers and your spouse and everybody else? Because if you're holding them to the law, then you're still in that jurisdiction. And that's a deceitfulness of sin when you stay there. The jurisdiction is in the bottom part, in Adam, the old creation. How are we born again? By believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Just believe it. Believe that He actually did this. Believe that the Father actually qualified you to get in. Believe that His flesh was ripped open. As it said, His flesh represented the veil that was split that day. Believe that He opened Himself up and says, come on in. I've taken away your sin. I've set you free from the law. You come and be My beloved. You come and be My betrothed. I want to marry you, Jesus said. I want you as My bride. Come on in. Come on in. You're accepted. Where are we? Where are born again believers dwelling today? It says in Colossians that we are hid with Christ in God. We're hid with Christ in God. And I want you to resoundingly hear in your heart today, in Him there is no sin. If you're in Him, know this, in Him there is no sin. If you got in, then why do you still identify with sin? And if you believe your brother's in, why do you still identify him with sin? If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Really free. That's what communion's about. That's what we believe. That's what we have in Christ Jesus forever. So we're going to take communion. But I want you to thank the Lord today. And if in somewhere today you felt like, maybe I'm still identifying with Adam. I'm still kind of wrapped up in identifying with him. Put your faith in Jesus again. Let your faith be built up today to believe that you are in the kingdom of Jesus forever. And that in Him we have righteousness. In Him we're sanctified. In Him we're saved by believing in that. So we believe in that today, and we believe that this body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was more than just something we celebrate. It was the real deal forever.